Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this show. If you want to listen to the podcast, this program or any of the other programs we air on American Family Radio, and for those who are just catching up to 21st century technology, a podcast basically means a show has been archived and you can play it on demand. So you just need to go to AFR.net, click on podcast, and you can listen to any of the shows that we've done, this program or others that we've done today or in the past. And just click on there, and it'll happen for you there. You're listening to Today's Issues. Tim, Ed Battagliano with me. Good morning again, Ed.
Good morning to you.
And Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us now.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
How's everybody doing today?
We're doing well.
Glad to hear.
All things considered. Yeah. All right, so.
All things considered.
That's a PBS show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or an NPR.
NPR.
NPR show.
Yeah. Yes, it is. You're listening to National Public Radio.
That's right.
Where all things considered. Sponsored by.
Pfizer. Because they sponsor everything.
That's a good one, Steve.
Sponsored by
Pfizer. Pfizer.
Have you had your booster today?
And now we're going to do a totally unbiased report on the
vaccines.
On vaccines.
On COVID vaccines. Sponsored by Pfizer.
By the way, I was just double checking. Podcast, the word, the etymology of the word, comes from combining iPod and broadcast.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Podcast, gotcha. It's a generic word now, though.
I mean, yes, no, it's yeah. It's
this part of our vernacular.
Yep, but it was coined in 2004, just 19 years ago. So, it's incredible.
Yeah, podcasting. Now everybody's got a podcast.
Everybody,
huh?
Everybody's got a podcast. I should start a podcast, and then I could always ask, like, my kids and grandkids if they watched Papa's. Do you watch Papa's podcast?
Podcast,
yeah.
All right, Steve, what's happening?
As we speak, the House of Representatives is meeting, and they
see what you did there with your "as we speak."
Yes,
Speaker House.
Speaker, yes. As they don't speak, we are having another vote to see if we can.
Right now?
Yes, even as we speak, the nominations are going in. Republicans have nominated Jim Jordan again. And the Democrats have nominated Hakeem Jeffries again. We weren't able to report to you yesterday because it happened after we got off the air, but Jim Jordan lost the vote. 20 Republicans voted for other people, some for a group for Steve Scalise. A couple voted for Kevin McCarthy, and then there's some odd votes. But 20 people didn't want to vote for Jim Jordan. So they're going to do it again, and it's been an interesting bunch of stuff happening on the floor. I'll tell you that when Jim Jordan got on the floor, he met with some of the people that voted against him. There are still at least 4 Republicans who say they're not switching. So we don't know what's going to happen. And right now what they're asking for, what they're talking about, is giving the temporary speaker, Patrick McHenry, the speaker pro tem, I guess, more power. In other words, if they can't get this done today or tomorrow, they're going to go ahead and give Patrick McHenry the power to act as speaker, and so they can get legislation done and move on for however long it takes.
And I would imagine if they do that with Patrick McHenry, which, as Tim mentioned in the first hour, it sounds like a name right out of the Founding Fathers.
Right.
That I don't see why they would change that. After that, I don't know that the votes would be there to do anything other than just allow Congressman McHenry to continue as interim speaker.
He was chosen by Speaker McCarthy when he was Speaker for just this situation, if he were to be ousted, because when McCarthy came in, the way that Matt Gaetz and the other Republicans engineered it with all those votes, the concession was that anyone congressman who wasn't satisfied with how the Speaker was doing his job could call for a vote of no confidence, basically.
Right.
Which they did, and enough of them voted to remove McCarthy. So McCarthy, knowing that that could happen, tapped McHenry to be his the Speaker pro tem if he were ever out, and he has been functioning in that job. Guy with the bow tie, it's like,
right.
Like a throwback.
So. And the heavy hand on that gavel.
Boy. He was not, if you saw the first time he wielded the gavel after, and his first time up, he was angry. He slammed that gavel down so hard.
Right. Are you guys surprised at all this drama? Republican House drama?
I think it's self-inflicted. And what I mean is this, that Kevin McCarthy, I know he was trying to, there was 15 votes. I know he was trying to get that over with at the beginning of the year. But to allow...
Are you going back to January?
Yeah, going back to January. To allow a single House member to call for a vote. Again, I like the way Steve characterizes it. Basically, a vote of no confidence where you can remove the acting Speaker. I think that's a mistake. My understanding is that was a fairly dramatic change from the way things were done prior to that. You got to get rid of that rule, because otherwise you could have a fairly small number of House members.
One.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, if you can get votes to throw the House into this kind of chaos and you can't get anything done. Some people think, great, the House can't get anything done, which means Congress can't get anything done. But it's not a good...
Excuse me for interrupting.
We have no
third in succession right now.
So it goes president, vice president, and then speaker. Yeah.
Would it be? Would the speaker pro tem be?
I don't know.
I don't know what the Constitution.
It says speaker of the House. I don't know if
Speaker of the House.
I don't know if McHenry is considered.
Also, have y'all noticed how Kamala Harris, the vice president of the United States, she's just like non-existent, huh? Where what does she do? Where does she go? I mean, I think they're hiding her. They being the Democrats in the Biden White House.
Can you blame them?
But they did put her in charge of the border thing. That didn't work out for her very well. I mean, she went down to discover root causes, but that's the last we heard of her on the am I right?
Yeah, she was just put in charge of something else.
What was it that Biden said she's going to do? It's like Paris shopping in Paris, chairman. Remember that one?
Yeah, she was ecstatic.
She is she's way over her head.
I think that's the problem.
Huh?
And then listen, that doesn't mean she's not an intelligent woman not a Helen Reddy type.
Maybe she can't secretary of something.
Yeah. But she's in over her head as vice president.
You're saying that you want her to be a secretary.
I'm saying she would be probably more suitable to be secretary of.
Take dictation and.
No.
Like I'm talking about
secretary of department.
Oh.
Might be good at that.
Oh,
I'm talking about something lower level.
I'm not
VP right up there. One heartbeat away from being leader of the free world.
And vice presidents have not traditionally had a lot of authority anyway, even from the president. There's an old saying back from, I think, the 1800s. Somebody said that the vice presidency isn't worth more than a pitcher of warm spit, I think, in terms of what you're able to do for the country. So you're basically hanging around. Sometimes you get sent... If the president can't go to a funeral, you send the vice president. Sometimes the vice president has had an assignment or two, but they don't really have much except to wait around in case something happens to the president.
That's true. But they also take that job. A lot of people do, thinking it'll lead to them having an opportunity.
Right.
They do function as president of the Senate.
That's
and
true.
And cast a deciding vote.
Yeah, should that happen. But like Ed said, most of the time it's whatever the vice president is doing is basically ceremonial or, you know, representing our country because the president can't go here or there or the other. But I just haven't seen anything from her. Not that I follow her tweets or anything. I don't know what was she put in charge of?
The border?
Well, no. Remember the other day he said, I'm putting Kamala Harris, the vice president, in charge of something.
Was it misinformation?
No, this is recent, more recent than that. While you're looking that up, Steve.
I think it was like.
I'm going to.
The menu at the White House or something like that for lunch. I think she was put in charge of that.
The person who made the comment that I just said mm-hmm. was the vice president. It was Garner, John, was it John Nance? John Nance Garner. And
it'd be a good trivia question for Friday.
Yeah, he was vice president from 1933 to 1941. He had so little that he was allowed to do.
Yeah.
He famously described the vice presidency, it used a different word, not worth a bucket of warm. It was changed to spit.
Yeah, I think we all know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And so that was, and so. To the point you were making, vice presidents traditionally haven't had a lot to do. What was she put in charge of here recently?
The White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention.
They made that one up.
Solve the crime problem here in about a month, huh?
She'll get right on that.
Yeah.
Woohoo! All you criminals with guns, you better look out. The vice president is coming for you. I'm sorry.
The world's on fire, and we have our president. Can hardly speak a coherent sentence. He did okay over there in Israel. From what I heard. So right. I don't want to. Listen, when you have his condition, you have good days and bad days.
Right.
And
I was watching.
But it doesn't get any better.
Right.
I was watching, and he did say some good things.
He
did? He spent about 2 minutes consoling the people who had lost loved ones in the raid. The original terrorist attack, and he didn't say I lost my son in the war, but he did say I can tell you from experience that this is what you'll feel. And then he went on and on talking about seeing the empty chair at the table, sitting Shiva, you know, hearing her voice when you do this.
That's what people do in his condition, though. I'm just telling you. Of course, he has a whole long history of faux pas and whoppers and you know, alternative reality.
Yeah.
That's it. That's Joe Biden's, especially the last few years. He just makes stuff up. I mean, when he gets home, he's going to have served in the IDF. You know, he's going to say I was serving alongside the Israeli commandos while I was over in Israel. Just want y'all to know.
Right.
That's the ticket.
So, but anyway,
me and Corn Pop were right over there in the IDF.
Yeah.
They are 65 votes into the speaker race, and already four people have voted. For someone other than Jim Jordan.
If he didn't get the vote yesterday, what makes you think he's going to get enough today?
So there are some people who said that it was a protest vote yesterday. They just wanted to protest be on record. They didn't like the ouster of Kevin McCarthy. They don't like the direction that the Freedom Caucus, who Jim Jordan heads, is taking the Senate, the House, any number of things. But there was talk that... That was going to be the first vote. Do what you want, vote how you want, and then get in line for the second. But there are at least four, and only being 65 votes in and already four down, it doesn't look good. Just saying.
Didn't Jim Jordan say that if he doesn't get the speaker today, he's going to Did he say he was going to withdraw? Or
I did not hear that.
Okay,
he might have. I did not hear that.
Will we talk about that with Fred or with?
I don't know. Did you?
I think we did talk about that about 30 minutes ago.
All right,
something like that. No, I think
it's
I think
been a long 30 minutes.
30 minutes ago. I can't be expected to remember.
No, I think what was said 30 minutes ago, I think by Fred, was that if Jordan doesn't get it today, he will withdraw his name, and they being the Republicans, will move to make McHenry the interim speaker.
Okay.
that's what they're doing, is they are talking about giving him power. I don't know that it would be instead of voting, but it would be giving him power to continue to do business in the House so that they can pass bills.
Yeah, which begs the question Ed and I had, why don't you just elect him Speaker if you're going to elect him interim?
I bet that could happen.
But I don't know too much about Mr. McHenry. I don't know his voting record. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just don't know. I haven't researched him or studied much about him. All right, at the risk of sounding like a establishment supporter, by establishment, I'm talking politics, GOP. Listen, when you have such narrow margin of majority, is majorityship a word?
I don't think so.
It one? Can we vote? Let's vote on that.
I vote. I'm gonna make it a word.
I don't like it. Majority.
So you're voting against it?
I'm voting against majorityship.
All right. So we're gonna have to come back tomorrow and do this vote again.
I nominate majorityship as a word.
Okay. Well, we got a guy over here who doesn't want it, so we're gonna have to come back tomorrow and vote.
What word do you nominate?
All right. So
instead, I like the words we got.
So I'll just say this: when you have a nine vote margin out of
435.
There's no room. You're going to have to come together. By you, I mean the conservatives are going to have to work with the more moderates, and the moderates are going to have to work with the more conservatives to get that is what they're trying to do, find somebody who they all can rally around. But you just don't have benefit of being able to find a purist on your ideology, and that's the only person you're going to support.
Right.
You don't have the luxury, I should say. That's my view, because you don't have a leader in the House of Representatives, and you don't seem to be able to find one. You see what I'm saying? Maybe they will, but if Jim Jordan doesn't make it, he's the most conservative of the ones. He would be our guy in terms of our
right.
We're kindred spirits ideologically. He's a conservative, very strong conservative.
He's lost.
He's already lost the second speaker vote.
I know I don't understand how all this works. I don't see the point of putting your name up there if you didn't know you were going to, I'm not blaming Jim Jordan. I'm saying the Republicans didn't know he's going to be waxed.
Well, I think it's like what Steve said. I think there was some question about whether the first vote was simply a protest vote, and you might be able to pick off some of those votes.
You can't survey your own caucus and find out what's going to happen tomorrow.
That's what a whip is
for. You don't even know that? That didn't sound believable to me.
I'm just telling you what the...
I don't accept that, Ed.
What the answership is for your question.
Am I not the only one?
Like that?
Yes,
listen,
seven
have voted against him, right?
Seven down now.
Now he's down. So how much? He's got
six.
Right, he's got nine. One or two. He's got one or two more to go, right?
I don't think so. I think six was it.
I don't know. I don't know. Did Matt Gaetz think this was going to happen? Because he's going to be the villain.
Yeah.
In a lot of people's eyes, I'm not saying that. Okay, I'm making a neutral, objective, nonpartisan observation.
Right.
I don't need people emailing me or calling me names, calling me a rhino or establishment.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't need that.
You domestic.
I'm just saying Representative Gaetz and how many others?
20. Yesterday.
Yesterday.
No, how many of them brought down Matt McCarthy?
Matt Gaetz called for the vote, and then Kevin McCarthy.
Wasn't it eight of them?
Couldn't get reelected.
I think it was.
So Matt Gaetz and either seven others or eight others brought down the Speaker of the House that 96% of their that 96% of their colleagues had supported. I'm talking about McCarthy. And now we see what's going on. So there seemed to have been no plan on what would happen after that. And this is not looking good, is what I'm saying. And it isn't good because we need a Speaker of the House.
Right.
And they can't settle.
Well, we'll see. After this vote concludes, then we'll have a clear image of what can be done. This comes back to selecting Patrick McHenry as an interim speaker. And my view, at that point, you're not going to get the two sides on the Republican Party to agree to someone else. McHenry's just going to stay the interim speaker until a new Congress.
Well, and even a lot of the conservatives here don't even like what happened with McCarthy.
Right.
A lot of them, yeah.
Jim Jordan, whose name is there now, who is, like I said, he's a real conservative. He voted for McCarthy.
Yes. And so did Scalise, right?
So did Scalise.
Scalise.
So, and listen, Matt Gaetz can make an eloquent case for why he did what he did. He can. But you got to me, I would have thought that there would have been some kind of, okay, now this will happen and the Republican House will be better off since McCarthy's not there.
Well, the big problem for Matt Gaetz is that there are not enough Republicans in number
who agree with him.
Who agree with him. That's the problem.
And they're ticked.
And they
at the way McCarthy was kicked out by eight people.
Well, and what I'm saying is I love the ideas of the conservatives and Matt Gaetz in terms of how the House should be run.
Yes.
But we've talked about on this show single subject bills. We don't want you stuffing, these omnibus bills with all the pork and all that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. But the problem is there aren't enough Republicans who do agree with Matt Gaetz. To your point, perhaps Matt Gaetz should have only done what he did knowing that they did have the votes for a Jim Jordan or somebody who would change the way the House was run, and they didn't. And now we've got this. And I do fault Matt Gaetz for that because
you got to have a plan going in.
You got to have a plan, and you got to have the votes.
If you're going to blow it up, you better have an architectural design to rebuild, seems to me.
Can I bring you some breaking news in the last 10
seconds? Will you break the news
seconds?
For us,
Steve? Arkansas Today, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders announced she was ordering Syngenta to relinquish 160 acres of land holdings in northeastern Arkansas, becoming the first state to order a Chinese company to give up ownership of local land.
Wow, can the governor do that?
Yes, apparently.
Huh.
If it's a national security or a state security issue.
If you can prove it.
Ed, do you want communist cows on our land in Arkansas?
I'm just saying it's going to be challenged in court if you can prove that it's a national security. I didn't hear about this story ahead of time, so I'll just ask you questions that I'll have to do some research on.
Okay. All right.
I wouldn't want a leftist governor doing the same thing to Christians. I'm not equating Christians and commies. Chinese communists.
You got 20 seconds to dig yourself out of that one.
All right.
Do you yield to the people? Speaker who doesn't exist?
My answership has now been denied.
All right, folks. Keep listening to AFR. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.